Hello to all Earth citizens and welcome to my Conscious Coaching Podcast. This is Dr. Kianush, founder and creative director of MCCG. My Conscious Coaching Group is a non-political, non-religious 501c3 coaching nonprofit with initiatives in healthcare, leadership, and education with focus on emotional and spiritual intelligence. Our vision is to raise self and global awareness for a conscious mind through education and application of EQ and SQ, and our mission is to connect, collaborate, and partner with hospitals, academics, colleges, and medical schools and organizations to embrace growth, self-healing, and self-coaching to achieve well-being and peak performance of individuals and the team as a one connected whole. Today, our guest speaker is Andrew Newman, a very special soul and human being, a creative change maker for children and adults through his narratives known as Conscious Bedtime Stories. Andrew Newman is the award-winning author and founder of ConsciousStories.com, a growing series of bedtime stories purpose-built to support parent-child connection in the last 20 minutes of the day. His TED Talk, Why the Last 20 Minutes of the Day Matter, weaves trauma-informed awareness and attachment bonding into the wonders of story time, outlining the importance of quality connection before sleep for your child's ability to regulate, rest deeply, and wake up confident. He is a graduate of the Barbara Brennan School of Healing, a non-dual Kabbalistic healer, facilitating men's group in the Mankind Project and Soul Games, which has been actively involved since 2006. Andrew is a featured expert on Mindvalley's Little Humans and has been opening a speaker for Deepak Chopra, keynote speakers at Dr. Becky Bailey's Conscious Discipline Conference, and author in residence at Bixley School in Boulder, Colorado. He brings a calm yet playful energy to speaking events and workshops, inviting and encouraging the creativity of his audiences, children, parents, and teachers alike. Thank you very much, Andrew, for supporting our nonprofit, My Conscious Coaching Group's cause and events with your conscious stories in the past few years, and especially for joining us today. Welcome to our podcast.
Thank you so much. This is a pleasure to be here with you. And yeah, we've been following each other through stories for some time, and it's a pleasure to be with you in person now.
Exactly. Yeah, I've been chasing you for a couple of years, and I'm glad that this is a time that, I mean, we have some quality conversation through this podcast together and for the world. Andrew, please let us know, how do you like the world know you, and except, I mean, by your stories, of course?
Yeah, I think that I'm most known through a brand at the moment, and the brand is Conscious Stories. But if you know how to read the subtext of the stories, you actually get to know me personally quite well, because I'm often the hero of the story is very, very familiar to me and very dear to my heart. So I really want to be known personally. I want to be known intimately. I also want to be known as an author. It feels great when occasionally I get to sit in a coffee shop with a book on the table and a kid comes past and goes, "Oh my God, I've got that book already." And I'm like my heart soars. It happened a couple of weeks ago in Santa Fe, where I met a five-year-old super fan. And I'm like, if there's anybody I want to be famous to, it's five-year-olds. That's perfect for me.
Yeah, exactly. That is something, to be famous to a 5 years old. I'm reading your stories, actually, some of them even for myself. And they have a great, you know, touching on people's souls. And I believe that the children has found that out as well. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of Conscious Stories and what brought you to writing and when it happened?
Yes. So Conscious Stories emerged first as a creative project of my own. I didn't really know when I wrote the first book that it was going to become what it is today, which is a collection of 23 stories. All with breathing practices and activity pages and core lessons. When I wrote that first story back in 2010, it was just a poem that needed some pictures. But it was a poem that took a snapshot of a four-year training in personal development that I had just completed, training with the Barbara Brennan School of Healing. And I had learned so much about developmental psychology, about the first 6 years of our life, how it sets up our belief systems, how that really shapes our attitude to ourselves and the world as it goes forward. And I was doing work with adults, but all of the work that I was doing with adults was helping them unlearn the things that they had incorrectly learned, and then to come back to the essence of who they are. And that's much harder work than setting your kids up right in the first place. It doesn't make sense to me that that we're all trying to undo things we've learned wrong. Why don't we just do a better job of learning them right in the early years, and as best possible? And so my heart started reaching towards children, and recognizing that parents are overwhelmed. They're already it's a full-on experience relationally and practically, and really didn't want to add anything to the parenting to-do list because there's so much on that already. And so I looked at story time and through various lenses. One of the lenses is we're doing it already. We have to. We've got a little one at bedtime. We have to put them into bed. We got to find a way to do that. Why don't we make those moments just more 15% more intentional and 15% more value driven, because it's an opportunity where our kids actually open up and we get to sit alongside them in a different way than much of the time we spend with them during the day.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the most quality times that the parents have, with their children. I'm coaching adults as well. And as an adult, I know that we have to heal our baby within first, and narratives are really important, even for the adults coaching. And we know that everything starts from home as well. That is why your work is so important. And as you mentioned, it is actually making it easier for parents rather than making it more difficult and adding a to-do a project to their to-do list. You had a TED Talk that emphasized that why the last 20 minutes of the day matter. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yes, as I was studying how trauma happens, and trauma with a little t or a big t, it doesn't matter. It's like we're always awake when it happens. If we're asleep, we wake up. And then what the question that I started to ask is, what is the role of sleep in solidifying a painful experience into a negative behavior pattern? Because if we can interrupt that and never have to create the protective behavior that's then we get to stay in our own heart and in our own essence. And so that's what the TED Talk explores, a little bit about belief system formation and the relationship to sleep, and then the possibility of engaging with healthy, dear, sweet, cuddly connection. And physical touch that happens at story time, the parent-child relationship, the space for the kids to open up and share, which they organically, it's funny because it's the moment you're trying to put your kids to sleep, and it's a moment that they're the chattiest about really what's important to them, and what's happened in their day. And I wanted to encourage folks to be open to that, to really understand that the restorative, reparative experience for hard moments in your kid's day, it comes through you. It comes through you coming alongside them. It comes through you just being close and caring with them. And if we do that just before sleep, the nervous system goes to sleep from an attuned and regulated place as opposed to a heightened anxious place. And it lets the brain spend the night cultivating much more ease and much more confidence. I think you'll know if you've ever been to sleep on an argument that you wake up still arguing the
I
next day. You're
know,
like, it doesn't go away. So that was the principle that I was really following and saying, well, if you go to sleep feeling super loved and super connected, what is it that you'll wake up into? And my personal exploration and the feedback from families is that when kids get that contact in the last 20 minutes of the day, they wake up into much more ease, confidence, less anxiety, and they're more ready to explore their world and express themselves.
Yeah, there's definitely no doubt about that. We are launching, in 2024, as you know, our Kids Coaching Parents program. How do you think that parents and coaches can apply your stories to their children's emotional and spiritual education and well-being, which is also our initiatives too?
Well, story time is multi-generational. You've got whether it's grandparent and child or parent and child, aunts and uncles, it's already there. So at the start of each of the conscious stories, there's the snuggle breathing meditation. And if an adult sitting alongside a child starts the pattern and repeats it so that the kids get used to it over time, we take the 4 breaths, we slow down. This is a transition aid. I breathe for me. I
Yeah.
breathe for you. Nice breath. I breathe for us. And I
Yeah.
breathe for all that surrounds us.
Yeah.
Now, just, I mean, we did that quickly here on this podcast, but when we slow that down a little bit, everybody's nervous system relaxes, not just the kids. It's ours, right?
Yeah.
We get to practice what a moment of reset and restoring calm is like for us. Now, if we can do that for us, then we're in the process of modeling to the kids that we're with. And it doesn't take long before the kids will turn it back around and you try and sneak over this part of the book and not do the breathing at the start. They will call you out. They will say, hey, we didn't do the snuggle breathing. Let's do that.
Exactly. Yeah. And how important it's for the children to learn that, because it's really helping their anxiety as well, with the pressure that they have in the school before the exam taking. I'm doing your snuggle breathing, so, and it's working for me. I'm sure it's working for the children.
Yeah, I do it before team meetings in our business when it just we all want to come in centered and be present first to ourselves. That's why the I breathe for me is what we lead with. And for particularly for mums, this is a part of the becoming a mother is a major shift in identity from being a single woman. Whether you're married, like single in your own identity, to all of a sudden being, plus one.
Yeah, yeah.
here comes the infant, and so much care gets directed. It's actually essential at first that the boundaries are merged, and then it's essential that there's an individuation process that happens that allows your kids to be themselves. As they grow, and you to return back to being yourself as a mother, and I breathe for me as part of that. And we know parents and coaches are sometimes it's actually a real challenge to take that breath to really feel the permission as a mother to have a little bit of space
Yeah.
from the little ones. And it's important because again, it's a modeling that you're doing to your kids and they're watching absolutely everything. They don't just learn it. They learn it from watching you, and it sets up their behaviors. And then you think of the story, like the hug who got stuck, which is in our collection, it's the kid's favorite story. And it's teaching kids to access their hearts, get free from sticky thoughts. So many adults read this story and go, oh my word, that story is for me. I needed to remember that. And
I know.
yeah, we don't want our heart to be closed because we're
Yeah.
thinking negative thoughts. We want to be able to stay open and centered. And the hug learns how to do that by breathing in love and glowing brightly, by focusing entirely on the heart the love is for, and not paying too much attention to the web of sticky thoughts that's surrounding the hug factory and the heart.
Yeah, that definitely is one of my favorite story, the hug that was stuck. And as you mentioned, children learn by watching and recording you. So, and it's very important how to be adult or modeling for them and permission to breathe and showing them the way that they can breathe and use their breath work, to manage their emotion and anxiety, and the moments that they need to slow down is an important work, both for parents and for the children. You have a new story named The Hairdresser for Unicorns, and the central theme is helping kids recognize that their beauty comes from within. And how important in that is that? How does this story you think is helping parents to help their children?
Well, firstly, it's the one of the most easily accessible lessons because there's unicorns and so much color. And so we want the door to be open. We want kids to come to this naturally and actually want to immerse themselves in it. And so it needs to be a good story for that to happen. I know which stories the kids lean in on, and they're teaching me, and I'm hearing that in the process. But here in the story, young Sparkle arrives at Delilah's. Now, Delilah's is the only hairdresser for unicorns in the whole entire universe, and Sparkle has just gotten her hair tangled up in some cotton candy when she was at the fun fair, and she wants to go to the dance tonight with her friends, and she's worried that she's going to look ugly. And at the salon, Delilah tries washing things out of the hair. They try the hyper handy cosmic hairbrushes. They try the interstellar tangle teaser, and poor Sparkle, it just gets sticky, knotted, and clumpier, and the only solution is actually to cut the hair off. And of course, this is a huge edge in terms of visual identity for anybody. And I have done it once in my life for in a care for a friend who was going through chemo, and it's quite a thing to have your hair cut off. And in the story, Sparkle's friends, Dreamer and Alchemy and Shimmer, decide that they will do it with her, and she doesn't have to do it alone. And in that moment is one of the modelings that's in the story. The other one that's coming in here is when Delilah says, "Oh, Sparkle, I know this is difficult, but remember your beauty comes from inside you. You are beautiful with or without your mane, and I promise it'll all grow back." Let's think about how many times we need to give our kids a message and a lesson before they adopt it as a behavior and a belief. We can't do it just once. We need it to be on repeat. We also need it to come in from different forms. So this central message about helping kids to know that their beauty comes from within, it's also in The Elephant Who Tried to Tiptoe as a story, and other areas in the collection. And so this book is just layering in this message. There's a fabulous ending. The girls look amazing with their hair cut off. They can actually see each other's eyes more clearly. Your horn is sparkling even more magically. And they get to go to the dance and really be the talk of the galaxy, because now they stand out. Actually, now there's some another layer of uniqueness that emerges. And if you're the parent and you can just read the story, and that can be it, or you can read the story and start a conversation. And to help with that, we've got the activity page at the end, which is a daily sparkle meter, and you get to check how sparkly did you feel today. Now, if your kid is with you and says that they don't feel super duper sparkly, we've got a little gauge. They're actually only sort of smiley, which is one of the positions. Then you've got an opportunity right there to begin a conversation. Like, what would help you? What would help you be more sparkly? What happened today that you're not so sparkly? And then you've opened up into a conversation. What is it? Had too much sugar, or someone was mean on the playground, or I'm just tired, or now you've got layers of intimacy in your connection and within the relationship.
Yeah, such an insightful way that to do this work, and it is important for the children also self-confidence and self-awareness that how they can rely on this on the strengths and the skills that is residing within them rather than outside them. And I was just curious, where do you get all these, colorful inspirations? It's just your stories are amazing. Your ideas is just, I'm a spiritual person too, but it's just beyond my imagination how you get all these, inspiration and how they it's come to you.
Well, I mean, firstly, a big shout out to the illustrators who bring the ideas to life. They're the ones who layer the character in. Alexis Aronson and Liesl Bella are two central illustrators, but we've worked with five different folk over the 23 books. The ideas for me, I would say there's a certain compound interest that as I've stayed in my own personal development work in the men's circles, in the healing schools, in the growing and learning for myself on how to help people, I've watched these common themes just show themselves. Like we all need to fall into silence, the boy who searched for silence. We all need to remember beauty comes from within. We all need to keep our heart open and get free from sticky thoughts. And so those. I mean, I don't totally know the answer to the question you're asking. It's kind of like for me, with my nature and my creativity, the story's right in front of me. I don't have to think very hard to find it. I need to actually stop thinking to let it come towards me. And some of the stories, like The Boy Who Searched for Silence, I did a 4-day silent retreat. I wasn't allowed to have a pen. I didn't even think I was writing a story. And at the end of a 4-day silent retreat, the book wrote itself in 5 minutes. And I've just gotten used to listening to that kind of nudge that comes inside me when a story wants to be written.
Yeah, I can say and see that in you, that that's the gift that you have, and we are so lucky that you are sharing it with the world. And when I read your stories, I said, oh my God, this is so resonating also with an adult, and this is not just for the children, as you mentioned. These are the themes that, I mean, many adults are dealing with it, as you mentioned, the trauma that we all are experiencing, maybe going back to our childhood. And my favorite one, I'm going to ask your favorite book, but my favorite one is just The Girl with the Waterfall Eyes. And I was just reading the book, and that I have a background study of the NDE, near-death experience. So, and I just had the glimpse to afterlife, and I reached to page 11, and I just choked and started becoming really tearful with it when it says that it was said that she could see through storms and clouds, beyond all difficulties, into a person's soul. And to be seen by her was the greatest gift a soul could ever hope for. And for me, this is really a gift. And I'm sure that, I mean, when the parents read your story, they find themselves somehow in them as well while they are reading it for their children. I want to ask you, what is your favorite story?
Before I get there, I've never looked at this book through the lens of someone who's had a near-death experience.
Interesting. And you
And
know that there are many children who have had a near-death experience as well. That's one of the work that we are doing with the IANS, International Association of Near-Death Studies.
yeah, that's fascinating because here's the similarity that I see immediately. This story is a medicine for those kids. It's not all kids, but those kids who really travel very, very far in their dreams. It's almost as if the soul goes back to where it came from every night. And that's wonderful. It feels great, but it sets up an existential anxiety because they don't actually. There's a question: Am I going to come back? Right. And so, from the human perspective, there's an anxiety. From the spiritual perspective, everything's going great. And so, in this story, the girl makes the journey back home. And she awakens after these beautiful, wandering dreams. And as I hold that up, I'm like, Wow, that could really be a near-death experience. You've got the experience. I don't have it yet. But I could easily imagine that those are very similar encounters from
It
a
is, and it's
spirit.
so strange, and a gift for me that you even didn't have the experience, but have written, such a great manual for the children who had the experience, how they can find themselves back to the reality of life, in spite of having the story as their gift. And there's a study with the University of Virginia for the children under 4 years old that they are connected to their past lives. And this is a subject that is probably not familiar with the parents, but when they talk with their parents, they don't know what to do with it. And I think the books like this is really helping the children and the child psychiatrists, and the therapists to connect with the children through the stories, so they open up and talk about what they are experiencing with their caregivers.
One thing that I want in the collection or as an experience, it's like I want it's a little bit like putting a drop of colored dye into a glass of water. That color permeator becomes part of the atmosphere of the water. And in my upbringing, there was a certain drought of the spiritual color of life that spoke to me, that I inside me I felt, but nothing in my upbringing in South Africa, in the family, in apartheid, in the schooling system, mirrored that back to me, that said, Andrew, you're not crazy to be feeling like this. This is true to your nature. And that's the on the broader theme of what this collection is, when those books sit on the shelf in your home and your kids dip in and out of them, that's what you're providing to them, is this nurturance and comfort that at a spiritual level, at a soul level, who they are and what they're experiencing in this human lifetime is 100% what they're supposed to be experiencing, what life is and how normal that is. And if we can do that again and calm the psyche, let's say it that way, then everybody feels more welcome, everybody feels more at home, relationships go better, tasks go better, and life is a healthier experience.
Yeah, everything will be in the best version that it can be, while, as you mentioned, with a calmer version of us. And what's your recommendation, Andrew, or any final advice for the parents and educators?
Well, I would really center again in that breath of "I breathe for me." Don't underestimate what we know from the brain science, Dr. Becky Bailey, conscious discipline. We know that the first thing we have to do in a kindergarten classroom, when a child has a brain state that is making them anxious, we have to breathe, because if we don't, then our brain state will follow their brain state, and we want it to go the other way around, right? So don't underestimate that. And then, if you're the parent who's listened all the way through this podcast and you're here now, I can 100% say you're doing a great job parenting. You're doing enough. You, as you are, is good enough for your kids. Don't let your anxieties about being a good enough parent or a good enough educator get in the way of your heart and your connection and your love, because that's the medicine and that's the ground. And so, just yeah, I welcome that little piece of like the sigh that goes, oh my goodness. I'm actually doing okay here. I'm going to keep at it. Of course, you're going to keep at it. I'm going to learn some things. Yes, but right now, where you are today, that's feel great about it.
Yeah, thank you very much. As you mentioned, love is the medicine, and I believe that your books are great tools as well, for just making that medicine works, and a great way to connect with the children and parents as well. Thank you so much, Andrew. At the end, just let us know how parents can buy your books, and if you have any promotions, how they can read and know more about you and what you are doing, and just out of curiosity.
Yeah, please follow along. Consciousstories.com is the website. Is Conscious Bedtime Stories on Instagram. Yeah, come along. Come and jump in. Send questions. Reach out if you've got a school your kids are at and you want me to come and visit. Let's talk about that. You want to do story time over Zoom because it's easier. We can do that. Yeah, I'm here to help. And this is the conversation I want to be engaged with, learning from you and with you, and supporting our little ones.
And thank you so much, Andrew, for all you are doing for the humanity and for the parenthood and for our children. We really appreciate you being here with us today, and have a wonderful time.
Mahalo from the islands. Thank you, everyone.
Goodbye to our listeners, and remember, one podcast at a time. Thank you for being with us for another one. You can visit our website at myconscious.org to learn more about us, or write to us at coach@myconscious.org. And please stay connected by following us on our social media platforms, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, not to miss our upcoming episodes and events. Love and light from all of us to you. Make it a great day, everyone.